Education, Mr. Lang, or is, are these two gonna be heard together?
When we went to the Planning and Zoning Commission, we started with the first one, but realizing they were the same and a repeat from several past conditional use applications, they end up being held together. If I may, I'll read both, and then I'll pass out the correspondence, which relates to both anyway. The first application is conditional use 1660, which is the application of Synagro WWT Incorporated to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for land application of DENREC approved biosolids as fertilizer, and as an amendment to conditional use numbers 1373, 1399, and 1498 to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Georgetown 100, Sussex County, on a parcels containing 88 acres more or less, lying southwest of Route 321, south of Route 324, and west of the railroad. Second application is conditional use number 1661, application of Synagro WWT Incorporated to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for land application of DENREC approved biosolids as fertilizer, and as an amendment to conditional use numbers 1372, 1400, and 1499, to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Dagsburg 100, Sussex County, on parcels containing 220 acres more or less, lying northeast of Route 48, northeast of the railroad, southwest of Route 318, and on both sides of Route 432. For the benefit of the council, I'll pass out copies of the correspondence which relates to both. These properties are properties. We've heard comments or received comments from the Sussex Conservation District on both applications. The applicants had provided a packet of information with each application, which included a cover letter, copies of the application forms, vicinity maps, site plans, copies of tax maps for the sites, copies of the deeds to the parcels, and copies of the operations plan for both applications. The operation plan includes references to the type of equipment, the type of seals on the biosolid transportation vehicles, transportation routes, days and hours of operation, truck cleaning facilities, procedures for spreading and incorporation, spill control and reporting, and record keeping. That is the packet I provided each of the council members. Jack Kimballs of Synagro WWT Incorporated was present and gave presentation, responded to questions from the commission on both applications. On June 22nd of 06, the commission deferred action on the application for conditional use number 1660 and also on conditional use 1661. On number 1660, on July 6th of 2006, Mr. Johnson stated he would move that the commission recommend approval of conditional use 1660, the application of Synagro WWT Incorporated to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for land application of DENREC approved biosolids as an agricultural fertilizer, and as an amendment to conditional use numbers 1373, 1399, and 1498. This recommendation is based upon the record and for the following reasons. One, Synagro, formerly known as BioGro, has run a clean, safe, and environmentally sound operation on this property for approximately 15 years. Yep. Two, Synagro's application of biosolids shall be subject to DENREC and other appropriate regulatory approvals. Three, the application of biosolids shall be limited to biosolids from Vlasic Foods, also known as Pinnacle Foods, site in Millsboro, as well as the towns of Harrington, Laurel, Georgetown, and Selbyville, along with Mount Air. Four, there shall be no stockpiling of biosolid materials on the site. Five, under the existing conditional use, the county must review and approve the continuation of the conditional use every 5 years. Since this process is regulated by DENREC, it is also my recommendation, being Mr. Johnson, to the County Council that the conditional use be amended to state that it shall remain in effect for as long as a valid DENREC permit exists for the application of biosolids and shall automatically terminate in the event that the DENREC permit lapses, is terminated, or expires. Six, the application of biosolids shall be limited to the hours of 6 a.m. to 9 p.m. Monday through Saturday. There was a motion and a second carried unanimously to forward this application to council with a recommendation that it be approved for the reasons and with the conditions stated. In reference to conditional use 1661, again on June 22nd, 2006, action was deferred. On July 6th of 2006, the commission discussed this application under old business. I'm basically reading the same exact conditions and stipulations as referenced in 1660. There's no changes except for in the title paragraph of Mr. Johnson's motion. He stated that he would move that the commission recommend approval of conditional use 16, that should be 61, application of Centigro WWT Incorporated to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for land application of DENREC approved biosolids as an agricultural fertilizer and as an amendment to conditional use 1372, 1400, and 1499. And this recommendation is based upon the record and with the same, if I can say this, Mr. Griffin, same conditions and findings I just previously read on 1660. The amount of time used was the same as 15 years. Everything else is the same.
So both of them have six stipulations, which are
they had, and actually, yeah, there was six, and I didn't even see it, but the computer, as computers will do,
right,
numbered 7 through 12, which should have been 1 through 6 on conditional 16-6. I just didn't see
it. I understand why it is. Okay, that's cool.
So, yeah, there are six on each one.
Okay.
And those numbers will be corrected. I just didn't see that one. And again, there was a motion and a second and carried unanimously to forward this application to council with a recommendation that be approved for reasons and with the conditions stated.
Have the hours, Mr. Lank, ever been a problem, 6 to 9? It seemed like that's pretty early, probably late for...
No, I've never received any complaints. The one site is immediately adjacent to the railroad, directly across the railroad from the Sussex Pine Country Club and Country Club Village subdivision, and I've received no complaints. I've been out there when the interrogator, the tractor that operates the application, no, you don't smell anything. I never had any complaints.
How about smell? Noise? No complaints?
It's typical.
Okay.
It's a typical farming operation as far as noise.
Right, okay.
And it's short term. They're not there for very many days doing.
So this, the application, there's a trench cut, the biosolids applied,
sure,
and then something.
I'm sure Mr. Kimmel, what we've seen, the way it's been presented to us, is that the interrogator cuts a trench, injects the fluid right behind it and covers it, and it's moving the whole time, so it doesn't just sit on the ground. It's covered up immediately.
I noticed that one thing that was addressed in the application was asking that the conditional use be permanent and not expire every 5 years, but the commission didn't address that.
Well, the commission did. If you listen to the number five,
okay,
since this process is regulated by DENREC, it is also Mr. Johnson's recommendation to council that the conditional use be amended to state that it shall remain in effect for as long as a valid DENREC permit exists, et cetera.
I stand corrected.
And that's after we've been 15 years, basically, three different conditional use applications, this being the fourth on the same property. And the only thing different has typically been the first one was Vlasic Foods, the second one was municipal waste from different towns, and they had to come back to add additional towns because it was stipulated that those towns be the ones, only ones supplying that material.
Is the applicant present?
My name is Doug Bennett. I work for Centigro. I'm basically here to answer any questions anyone might have. Mainly, we just apply from the Vlasic pickle factory there in Millsboro. Like I said, we knife it in about 6 inches in the ground, and it's covered up immediately, which minimizes any kind of odor. It's basically the waste from when they process their pickles, whatever is left over. When they wash down, it goes to a lagoon, and we haul it out in tankers and to the field, and it's onto the gator and in the ground. It's,
the application says also towns of Harrington, Laurel, Georgetown, Subbeville, and Mount Air.
Yes, I've been working for the company for about 3 years, and other than Georgetown, I never have known any other towns that have been applied there. But that's not saying there haven't been or there might not be in the future, but.
Okay. Any questions, gentlemen?
Nope.
Apparently there are no questions.
I referenced Georgetown. I believe that Georgetown, is actually, there was an actual pipe line run from the treatment plant under public road between the treatment plant and the farm, which is southeast or southwest of the treatment plant. And it's actually spray irrigated. That's actually spray irrigated on that site, I believe.
So Georgetown no longer comes to this site, you're saying?
In the biosolids, the if it's any heat, sure, it's typically not, it's typically liquid, it's all liquid.
Is there anyone else present here, either in support of or in opposition to this application, that would like to an opportunity to be heard? Let the record show that no one else is present. Even though the hearing on this was consolidated, you would need to take action separately on each proposed ordinance. Would you like me to read those?
Yes, sir.
Okay. First, an application to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for land application of DENREC approved biosolids as fertilizer and as an amendment to conditional use numbers 1373, 1399, and 1498 to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Georgetown 100, Sussex County, containing 88 acres, more or less.
How many have heard the first one?
I make a motion we approve CU 1660 with the five conditions, Mr. President.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Jones, second by Mr. Phillips to approve conditional use number 1660 as written. Questions? Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Phillips.
With the condition.
Based on the record recommendation of planning and zoning with the conditions, I vote yes.
Mr. Jones.
I vote yes also with the five conditions stated by P&Z.
Mr. Dukes.
Yes. There's six conditions, I think.
Six, excuse me. I apologize.
We better amend that. My vote is yes for the six conditions.
My vote is yes for six conditions. First one, Mr. Griffin.
I wrote six, too.
Next, an ordinance to grant conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for land application of DENREC approved biosolids as fertilizer and as an amendment to conditional use numbers 1372, 1400, and 1499 to be located in a certain parcel of land lying and being in Dagsborough 100, Sussex County, containing 220 acres, more or less.
Make a motion we approve conditional use 1661 with the six conditions as stated.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Jones, second by Mr. Dukes to approve conditional use 1661. Sanag Road WWT Incorporated as read with the conditions, six of them, correct? Questions? Mr. Cole.
Yes, with the conditions.
Mr. Phillips.
Based on the record recommendation of planning and zoning, I vote yes.
Yeah.
My vote is yes also with the conditions, Mr. President.
Mr. Diggs?
My vote is yes with six conditions.
My vote is yes
with
six conditions. Motion passed. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Next application is conditional use number 1662, the application of Kimberly Elliott to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for the sale of crafts and garden-related supplies to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Little Creek 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 1.29 acres, more or less, lying north of Route 54, 6/10 of a mile east of Road 453. For the benefit of council, I passed out a site plan survey of this site. Shows the existing greenhouse and parking. The commission received or held public hearing on this application on June 22nd of 2006. We heard comments from DelDOT, the Conservation District. Kimberly Elliott was present and gave presentation. The commission found there were no parties present in support of or in opposition to the application. At the conclusion of the public hearings, the commission discussed the application Mr. Gordy stated he would move that the commission recommend approval of conditional use 1662 for Kimberly Elliott to operate a garden supply and craft business based upon the record and for the following reasons. One, this application with the conditions and stipulations placed upon it will not have an adverse impact on neighboring properties or community. Two, the operation of a garden supply and crafts business will not generate a significant increase in traffic. Three, this recommendation for approval is subject to the following conditions and stipulations. One, the hours of operation will be from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Sunday. Two, the months of operation shall be from April 1st through November 15th. Three, no lighting shall shine on neighboring homes or on Route 54. Four, the operation will be for the sale of crafts and garden supplies, including produce. Five, the final site plan shall be subject to review and approval by the Planning and Zoning Commission. There was a motion, a second, and carried unanimously to forward this application to council with a recommendation that the application be approved for the reasons and with the conditions and stipulations stated. That motion carried 5-0. For information in the record, you will see in my report that the Board of Adjustment had previously approved the commercial greenhouse and small nursery on the site. So this is an expansion of an existing use. And that's all I have, gentlemen, unless you have questions.
Is the applicant present? Would you come forward?
Good evening. My name is Kimberly Elliott. I'm here to apply for a conditional use hearing on my property on 12609 East Line Road. I already have a nursery there, and what I applied for the conditional use hearing was to sell other things related to the nursery.
Ms. Elliott, did you hear, Mr. Lank just read five conditions. Were those conditions that you were in agreement with?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I have no problem with that, especially the hours, because my husband doesn't want me there any longer, so.
You're second that one, right?
Do members of council have any questions of Ms. Elliott?
I'd like to talk to her husband. Find out what's going on here.
You don't really want to do that.
Spending too much time at work.
You don't like this.
He's not happy with me. You don't want to do that.
We'll amend that.
Is there anything else you would like to say as to why you would like to have this approved?
Again, it's a nursery there, and I figured it would probably promote, you know, more business for me to, you know, have other things other than plants. I mean, especially a day like today, who really wanted to dig a hole? You know, it'd be nice if I had other things that they could purchase while they were there to help me with business and sales.
It's basically craft items, bird feeders.
Yeah, anything, things related to the greenhouse, like pottery. A lot of the women that I deal with, you know, they like to make things, and they'd like to be able to come up and sell things. You know, most of them are at-home mothers, you know, things like that.
That's cool.
Just maybe organic soaps, maybe even bait, who knows. But, I mean, that's that's about it.
Gotcha. No problem.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Is there anyone else here who would like to be heard either in support of or in opposition to this application? Let the record show that no one else has to be recognized.
No, that one protest in the back by now.
What's your pleasure, gentlemen?
Great title. Great
title.
Yeah.
Mr. Lang?
Now I just need room to write.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, you're getting ready to jump in there.
An ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for the sale of crafts and garden-related supplies to be located on certain parcels of land lying in Being in Little Creek 100, Sussex County, containing 1.29 acres, more or less, CU 1662.
I'll make a motion we approve CU 1662 with the five conditions stated by Planning and Zoning.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Jones, second by Mr. Phillips, to approve conditional use 1662, the application of Kimberly Elliott, with the, let's see, we got three conditions, but condition three's got five parts to it, correct? Questions? Mr. Cole.
Yes, with the conditions.
Three conditions and the five conditions. Mr. Phillips?
Based on the record recommendation of planning and zoning, I vote yes.
Mr. Jones?
My vote is yes also with the five conditions as read.
Mr. Dukes? My vote is yes with the conditions. My vote is yes for the conditions. Conditional use 1662 passes. Next.
Next item is conditional use 1691, the application of Purdue Farms Agri-Recycling LLC to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for an amendment to conditions of approval of conditional use number 1314 for a micronutrient plant with related truck entrance and rail spur for the processing and handling of poultry litter to be located on certain parcels of land lying and being in Broad Creek 100, Sussex County, and a parcel containing 228.88 acres, more or less, lying west of U.S. Route 13A and north of Road 485. For the benefit of council, I pass out copies of letter and copy of the finding to the council on this application. Again, the Planning and Zoning Commission held a public hearing on this application on June 22nd of 2006. The commission was provided with a copy of a letter from Purdue Agri-Recycle LLC and a copy of ordinance number 1354, which is a decision of council on conditional use 1314. The letter references the condition of approval for conditional use 1314 that the applicant wishes to delete or amend. The same document is provided to council. We heard comments from the Sussex Conservation District. We also have received a letter from Judy McKinney, Chair of the Delaware Economic Development Office, which referenced that agriculture contributes to Delaware's and the Delmarva Peninsula economy, that the poultry industry remains a key driver in our agricultural community, contributing over $686 million annually. That the applicant is currently operating an expanded schedule that includes Sunday production, that this added production is critical to support our agricultural community, but has a limited date at which time production will be reduced, that the office shows support for ongoing Sunday production, that she understands that the applicant has proven to be a good neighbor and that the Sunday schedule has not diminished the quality of life for the adjacent property. Wayne Hudson was present on behalf of Purdue Agri-Recycle and gave presentations. Jerry Taylor was present in support of the application and gave comments. Russell Ibram was present in opposition to the application and gave comments. Wayne Hudson, again, in response to questions raised by the commission, stated that the Monday shift starts at midnight Sunday, that it takes 12 hours to heat up the process, that most of the work being performed during that time is maintenance activities, not production, that production is regulated by DENREC, that he personally has not been approached about the lighting issue and that he will have it corrected, that he will provide the staff with a copy of the license from DENREC and all attached DENREC documents, that they have to open and close the doors when receiving trucks loaded with raw materials, that they were cited for the violation for having the doors open in excess of 5 minutes, that they have not been fined by DENREC or EPA, and that the EPA has stated that they have a model facility. On June 22nd, the commission deferred action for further consideration. On July 6th of 2006, the commission discussed this application under old business. Mr. Gordy stated he would move that the commission recommend approval of conditional use 1691 for Purdue Farms Agri-Recycle LLC to allow an amendment to the conditions of approval for prior conditional use 1314 for a micronutrient plant for the processing and handling of poultry litter based upon the record and for the following reasons. One, this is an existing conditional use that was approved by County Council in 1999. This application will not materially change the use that is permitted upon the property. Two, the applicant is requesting reasonable changes to the existing conditional use permit to meet its needs for the recycling of poultry manure and marking of the pelletized micronutrients. Three, the use is proven to be a benefit for the family farm and agriculture industry in Sussex County. It is also proven to be a good way to eliminate a potential source of excess nitrates and phosphates from Sussex County soils. Four, the applicant has requested the deletion of the fourth condition of its conditional use to allow the movement and drop off and pick up of rail cars within the site at any time. I agree with this request and recommend that the fourth condition be deleted. Five, the applicant has requested that the seventh condition be deleted to allow truck travel to the site at any time. I agree that this is reasonable and recommend that the seventh condition be deleted. By allowing truck travel to the site at any time, the plant can be operated more efficiently and fuel costs will be reduced. Six, the applicant has requested that an amendment to the ninth condition to allow outside storage in watertight containers. I believe this is reasonable and the material will be stored in a neat and orderly fashion if it is inside watertight containers. This will allow the plant to operate more efficiently. I recommend that condition number nine be modified to state: all activities involving raw litter shall be inside of the building. The loading, unloading, and processing of raw material / litter shall be within the negative air section of the building. Storage of finished product, both pellets and granulated, may be stored outside in watertight containers. The loading of the finished project, onto transport vehicles shall be under roof. The applicant has requested that the 18th condition be amended to allow Sunday operations on an emergency basis. I believe this is a reasonable request. I also believe that there is confusion as to what the word operate means. I recommend that condition 18 should be amended to state that the facility shall not be operated to convert poultry waste into micronutrient on Sundays unless an emergency basis exists. The applicant shall notify the Office of Planning and Zoning if it believes that a sufficient emergency exists to require Sunday operations and shall provide the Office of Planning and Zoning with its basis for the request. The Office of Planning and Zoning may, in appropriate circumstances, authorize Sunday operations after finding that a valid emergency exists. And number eight, I believe that the applicant has operated the facility very well during the past 5 years. Even with these recommended amendments to the existing conditional use, I believe that the noise, odor, and other effects of the operations are no different than other agricultural uses that exist all over Sussex County. There was a motion, a second, and carried unanimously to forward this application to council with a recommendation that it be approved for the reasons and with the conditions stated. And again, that motion carried 5-0. In part of the correspondent or the minutes, you may have heard me reference that the applicants would provide us copies with other operations. And we have a copy received. It's dated May 23rd of 2006. It is permit number APC 2000/0381, reference operation. Amendment 4, SM, process operations, emergency generator, raw product receiving and storage area, and finished product storage and loadout area. It's a several page document. I only have the one copy. I will pass it out. I will note at the end, administrative conditions. States it is the opinion of the department, being the Department of Natural Resource and Environmental Control for Division of Air and Waste Management. The operation of this facility calls a condition of air pollution. The department may require additional emission control measures. 7.2, this permit supersedes permit number APC 2000-0381 operation, amendment 3, SM, dated December 19th of 2005. And then 7.3, this permit shall be made available on premise. And 7.4, failure to comply with a provision of this permit may be grounds for suspension or revocation. And that was signed by Paul Foster, professional engineer, program manager of the engineering and compliance branch. And I believe, gentlemen, that's all I have, unless you have questions.
I have a question about item number 7. It says the applicant shall notify Office of Planning and Zoning if it believes a sufficient emergency exists to require Sunday operation. Office of Planning and Zoning may, in appropriate circumstances, authorize Sunday operation. Should there be some time period of that notice built in order to get time for that approval to occur?
It would be beneficial if they're, you mean, prior to them being allowed to operate on Sundays?
Yeah, because
it would be beneficial, and it should have some time limitation for how long they can operate that way.
And how long would be needed in order for the approval to be considered and determined whether to give it or not? Would they need to give 30 days notice, 2 weeks notice, or?
Well, typically, if it's going to be an emergency, it's going to be shorter than 30 days. Mm-hmm. 1 week or 2 weeks should be sufficient. They've got to give us a letter requesting it, then we have to make a decision. If we feel it necessary to go to administration or go to the commission, then we would have to do that. So it's going to be our
call. What's the definition of emergency?
I mean,
bingo.
Well, they had a fire.
Is the approval they're asking for something you can give, Mr. Lank, or does it have to go to the commission?
I'd say that would be.
No, it says the office. So it would be the decision of the director, the way it's written.
Well, there you go.
Okay. And that came up through the commission, not through the staff.
Okay.
Yeah, let's hear from the applicant.
I did have one other thing. It was a fax. It was received. It's from Purdue. This was received earlier. It's been in the file. I'm sorry. That's all I have.
Is the applicant present?
Good evening, gentlemen. My name is Wayne Hudson. Address is Laurel, Delaware. I'm the director of co-products manufacturing for Purdue Farms and also in charge of the operations at Purdue Agri Recycle in Blades, Delaware. The history of our business has changed somewhat when we first came to you back in 99. This was a greenfield site where we were going to take raw poultry manure and convert it into a pelleted fertilizer for the agricultural business only. The fertilizer business has changed, and the demand for the pelleted litter, it seems like that it wasn't agriculture only that wanted our product, it was also the lawn and gardens and also the golf course industry. So that has forced us to change some of our processes to now we make a granulated product, which is a finer particle that can be evenly distributed out on the fields. And that seems to be the majority of our market and sales now is going to the lawn and garden business and the golf courses versus the ag. Now, don't get me wrong, the ag business still is very much a major part of our business as well. Last year, we produced 48,000 tons of finished product. This year, our operating plan is to produce 65,000 tons of finished product. The unique part about our business is all 75% of those total tons is moved during the month of March, April, and May. It is not evenly spread out over the whole year. And also, there's variables that come into play with the fertilizer business. It's very weather dependent. If you have a wet year, then your fertilizer sales will be off until things can get dry. And then when it is dry, then people want their product right away. They want to be able to pick it up, and they want to be able to apply it the next day. So they're always trying to operate within a window of opportunity with weather. Stipulation number four, the reason we're asking for it to be deleted is that our loadout capabilities limit us to only loading either rail cars or trucks. We cannot load both of those at the same time. And what we found this past year is that we actually, during those daylight hours that we were allowed to load trucks, we actually had to turn trucks away because they came right at that dusk point where it was questionable whether we could load them or not. And in the trucking industry, having truck availability, if that truck is there today and you're not able to get him loaded, then if he has to stay, he's missed his next drop point and it's messed up his whole cycle as far as his deliveries and pickups, as far as being able to come as well. Our industry also, we're accommodating to, we're an agribusiness. You know, our customers that provide us our raw material is farmers. And farmers do not operate just during daylight hours only. A lot of their trucking, their pickup time usually occurs during either before the morning hours or after dusk as well. Under item number seven, again, that was the reason that we're basically talking about there. The availability of trucks we're finding not only in our industry, but also in feed ingredient industry is diminishing. Fuel surcharges, fuel costs are much higher than they are, and truckers just are not being available. There's more trucks that are being parked, so that the hours that you have available to load a truck is when a truck shows up, you can schedule him for this week. He may show up today, he may show up tomorrow, it may be the third day, and it may be at any hour of the night when he gets there. To help accommodate his schedule, if we're not able to load him, he can't just log out like he used to with the old DOT rules. He still is considered in service, but he's not driving. So he's losing his hours, so he's still gonna have to stop and rest at a point after that. So the DOT rules are affecting us there as well. On number nine, as we stated before, our season is primarily during March, April, and May, and we move about 38,000 tons of litter during this time frame. As Mr. Lang referred to, our DENREC permit limits us as to our throughput capability. Not only does it limit our number of hours that we operate, it limits the total number of tons we're allowed to produce. And then based off those emission levels that he referred to, it also limits how many tons per hour we can operate. So we're very much constricted as to how many tons we can produce on a weekly basis based off our emissions and our throughput. Now, the issue that comes up with, that's not a steady rate because poultry manure from chicken houses varies in moisture from anywhere from 20% to 55%. So if we have raw litter coming in at 55% moisture, we're only going to run about 10 ton an hour. Versus if it comes in at 28, 30%, we could probably run maybe 16 to 17 ton an hour. So those are also variables that kind of regulate and restrict us as far as the total volume and throughput that we can generate on a daily basis as well as a weekly basis. In order to build up and be prepared for this fertilizer season, now we have to be producing product to have it ready to be able to store and have it ready to go during the three-month window. What we would like to propose to do is we want to seal that finished product in watertight containers outside of the plant. We have experimented with ag bags in Maryland, and they seem to 5-mil bag that is 200 feet long, 10 feet in diameter, if you can imagine a huge hefty sack. It's a special machine that loads this device and walks it back, and then it seals it, and it's watertight. This bag is placed on top of a 5-mil piece of plastic as well, and it protects the product. When we opened the bags up this past year over in Rosedale, Maryland, the product was just as dry and just as unique as it was when we put it in there as finished product. So that's a super way of storing a large volume of extra material and having it available to resell and bring it back. Now, the way we retrieve that product out of there is we use a vacuum trailer that vacuums the product backed up in the trailer, then the trailer goes back inside the plant and then dumps, and then from there it is loaded back into our loadout capabilities where we load it on trucks. The other way we also are loading bags is in one-ton totes. These are one-ton totes that have a plastic liner inside that keeps the product watertight as well. We have to protect that because once water touches it as well, it's going to start to mold and deteriorate, and then it's basically we can't sell that product anymore as well. So we propose to store some of that product in one-ton totes, and that sits on pallets. And the issue there is once those totes are loaded, they're ready to be loaded onto a truck because that's what we send out. So I guess I would request that we could amend stipulation number 9 that we could load one-ton totes without putting them inside the building to be loaded. As far as item number 18, there was a lot of discussion on this one as far as the ability to be able to operate on Sunday. And the attorney for planning and zoning had a different definition than what DENREC has a definition of what is operating. We always have viewed operating as when you have throughput or product running through your process and you actually are manufacturing and producing a product. The attorney for planning and zoning termed it anytime people were at the plant, whether they would be doing preventive maintenance, housekeeping, or any type of heat up or starting up the plant, that would be classified as operating. One of the things that I would like to propose here is that this issue just be deleted altogether for two reasons. One is the question as to what is operating and what is not operating. Our intent at this point is to operate Monday through Friday. That is our plan. As you all are probably aware, these last 2 days have been high heat days, and actually we have been contacted by the utility company that if you can shed load, please shed load. Our business is such that we are not dealing with a fresh commodity. Our commodity will keep if we are able to shut down during the week, but then in turn be able to operate on the weekends. Again, we're still regulated by DENREC as far as the total throughput that we can put through our plant on a weekly basis, so we can't extend beyond that. So rather than have the emergency and having the time frame is determining as to how much notice we could give or should be able to give, I would like to propose that we just omit that altogether.
Speaking of eliminating item 7.
18.
Okay. So condition 18 would remain as it is.
No, to delete it.
Okay.
Can I answer any questions?
I think he's talking about deleting 479 and 18, didn't he?
Yes, 47.
Right. And amending.
All right.
Is there anything else you had?
No, sir.
Any questions? Okay, let's see if anyone else is here. Is there anyone here who wishes to be heard in regard to this application? Yes, sir.
You're taking positive or negative?
Either way.
Okay.
I've got a positive and a negative. My name's Jerry Taylor. My negative is you got some god awful hard seats in here.
Mr. Stickles said that, so nobody stick around.
Several years ago, back in 1999, I led an organization that was against the Purdue Ag Recycle, primarily because of the unknown. As a result of that drive, we submitted many names and signatures to this organization here. I'd say in excess of 1,300 have we submitted. Those petitions were considered, and the final decision was to allow the company to be put in there. I would like to tell you that was a good decision to put it in. I know the requirements that were listed for Purdue Ag Recycle. I know that they've lived, in my eyes, to everything that they committed to and then added more to it on their own. I find them to be a good neighbor twice to me. I have my business 1.5 mile east of them. I have my home 1.5 miles northwest of them. And they're a good neighbor in both locations. I do a lot of walking at times, and so my walking is down the highway in front of my business, so my walking is down their driveway going back to their business. I have yet to see the first piece of a fertilizer lying anywhere. I have a neighbor who hauls fertilizer on his own private fields, and there's no guess to when he's doing that because the road is covered. I mean, it's just right down disgusting. I would like to see further advancements in this type of operation. We have generations that are not here yet, and I think if we can get operations like this going, they may have a better time when they get here. They may be allowed to enjoy some of the things we've enjoyed. I live right on Gum Branch, and I knew the ill effects that have happened over the years from the previous farming practices that were held on that property. When I first bought my property in 1969, there was a lot of wide-bladed grass on the bottom of Gum Branch. Over the years, they subsided and left. It was just a bare, sandy bottom. Since AgriCycle has started, I'd say by the second year, the grass started returning. And even with the flood we just went through, we still have a ton of grass in Gum Branch. That grass will not grow if it's polluted, very polluted water. Again, I encourage you to approve what AgriCycle was requesting. They are the future of what we have. And I'd much rather see the fertilizer going through their building than going on the ground as it currently goes.
Mr. Taylor?
Yes.
The trucks that are going in there, they're all covered?
Definitely. If they... matter of fact, several years ago, there was a problem with one truck, and I have an idea it was the same driver. Each time he'd pull on the property, he would stop out to the roadway, get out, and cover his truck and drive on back. And I called Mr. Ferguson and informed him of that. That practice was stopped that same day. As best I know, the driver was told if he was seen doing that again, he would not be driving a truck back on the property.
Odor? Ever smell it?
To say there is no odor would be incorrect. To say there is an offensive odor would be incorrect. It is not offensive. I have more odor coming from Oakle's cow farm, which is probably 2.5 miles a bit northeast of me, than I do from AgriCycle. And again, anytime I get odor from AgriCycle, I do not, nor do my customers, view it as offensive. I've had a number of my customers, I have a fishing tackle shop, who come in and ask me if AgriCycle has started their operation yet. That in itself should tell you what they're smelling. It's not there.
Thank you.
Any more questions?
There. Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else here who would like to be heard regarding this application?
Mr. Satterby.
I am Bill Satterfield. I'm Executive Director, Delmarva Poultry Industry Incorporated, 16686 County Seat Highway, Georgetown. We are the Trade Association for the Chicken Industry. As the pandemic of development sweeps across Delmarva, and that represents a greater threat than the pandemic of influenza, more and more farmland that has been used for manure application is taken out of use. There's less land available for the application of manure onto farms. The process that Purdue is using, the system that has been set up, is a wonderful system. It grows more important every year as there's less land available for raw manure application. I think the conditions that Mr. Lang quoted, Mr. Gordy is saying, Mr. Taylor's comments, Mr. Hudson's comments, are ample justification for this to be approved. And DPI encourages your support for this.
Bert,
thank you.
Alan Patcher was going to do something in Hurlock. Did they ever get off the ground with that? That's Maryland, of course.
Alan Patcher was hoping to be able to burn manure next to its processing plant at Hurlock that provide energy for the processing plant. That did not occur. There were some technical reasons why that failed. What Alan's is proposing now is to burn some manure. I think it's about 15,000 tons a year at its Linkwood, Maryland rendering plant. And that's going through the regulatory process in Dorchester County.
So this would be, sounds like it's much safer.
I'm sorry?
It sounds like it would be much safer what they're doing here than burning it?
I'm not sure. I can't make that conclusion that one is safer or the other. They're different technologies to serve different purposes.
Yeah,
the Allen's plant is to provide energy to help it stay competitive.
But they've been a number of years, they've not got the approvals yet, which is not unusual. But
well, no, they've only started in Dorchester County about a year ago.
Okay.
It had to go through the county regulatory process, through the Maryland Department of the Environment, and all the other types of clearances. But they are moving ahead on that. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else present who wishes to be heard regarding this application? Let the record. Sorry. One more person.
My name is Russell Ebron. I live at 28369 O'Neill's Road. I am the closest resident to this. Mr. Taylor's comments were pretty interesting because I live right on Gum Branch, too. Matter of fact, it's my property line in the back of my yard. And there are so many weeds and duckweed and grass in there, you cannot see the bottom. And it also has fish in it. So it's a pretty healthy-looking stream to me. I'm not sure what his comments were about the grass all gone. I would also like if someone could enlighten me on some documentation that I got from the folders. There's a letter here from Purdue Farms Incorporated. It's dated the day, March 15th, 2006, which was the day of their fire or whatever that, you know, the smoke, or I guess they haven't ever admitted it was a fire. I'm not sure what happened. It says it was the very day of the fire, which I found quite interesting if someone's concerned about writing a letter. Dear valued partner, and this is to the Sussex County Planning and Zoning. As a supporter of Purdue AgriRecycle, we wanted to notify you of an incident at our Seaford facility this morning and let you know about our plans for recovery. At 8 a.m. today, an alarm in the dust collection unit activated due to high levels of smoke. The building was safely evacuated with no injuries. Local volunteer fire companies responded and brought the smoking material under control by mid-morning. Fortunately, damage was confined to one piece of equipment, except for water damage from the firefighters' efforts. So if there wasn't a fire, I'm not sure why they're squirting water, but anyway. We expect to resume product shipments from existing inventories tomorrow and to begin